I'm just going to set it on. We'll start out with giving you the name, the day you were born, or we'll start right from the very beginning.
Now?
Right now, sure.
Well, I was born July 12, 1902, in Salem, or in North Hill Township. And I've lived most of my life in North Hill. Or, no, I guess I've lived most of it in South Lyon. See, this is Lyon Township here. And I went to rural schools, except from my 8th grade on.
Okay, we're all set to go again. We started out with when you were born, and what was your maiden name?
Like.
How many were in your family?
Oh, there were just my 2 brothers and myself.
Uh-huh.
And we lived on a farm all our lives. Enjoyed the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Then when I went to high school, I drove about 4 miles for the first 3 years.
In Northville?
No, North, South Lyon.
Oh, South Lyon.
I graduated from South Lyon.
Uh-huh.
And a neighbor girl and I took turns driving, and race horses. The boys that drove along the road. And then the third year, my folks bought this farm here. And
where is here?
This corner here.
At 8 Mile?
And Napier.
And Napier.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to finish in South Lyon. So Dad got had an old buddy of his, schoolmate, and his wife was a teacher, and they wanted us, the two of us girls, to come there. And we were to help with the housework, go to school. Well, we did that the rest of that year, and then the next year, Mrs. Jones's mother, the lady we'd been staying with, was alone, and quite elderly. And so we stayed with her and went to school. And
how many were in your class, South Lyon?
Well, we started out with 35, but when we graduated, we had 15. 12 girls and 3 boys. There's 6 of us left. And
when you'd gone to earlier to school, you probably went close by here?
The neighborhood school, over on 7 Mile Road, and then the old stone schoolhouse that was on the corner of 10 Mile and Napier. That was torn down years ago, and another one put in there, wooden one. And when I went to the 8th grade in Northville, that's the only time I went there, Northville School. Was the paved street in Northville at that
really?
Time. And they raced horses up and down Main Street sometimes.
You'd go in with your family to shop, would you, or visit?
Yes, very, quite often. I remember one year when we were living over near 7 Mile, just off 7 Mile. It was April, and it was in about the middle of April, and it snowed terrible hard, and we had to go down with the grist, so my dad hitched the team onto the sleigh and went down. Well, 7 Mile Road wasn't paved then, of course, and we got down there all right, but when we had to come home, the snow was gone. And I can still hear those runners greeting on the gravel. We made it.
After high school, what did you do?
I taught. I went to summer school, and then I taught 1 year down here in the baseline school.
Thank you. You say summer school. Where would that have been?
Down there at Northwestern, the corner. Let's see, what is it? Michigan Avenue and Boulevard, I think it is.
Oh, you went to Detroit, too.
Yes. But I stayed with the man that owned this farm over here with his son. Wanted to come out here and work. So his wife was alone. So I'd stay with her during the week, and then he'd be home over the weekend. And that's where I boarded that 6 weeks. And after I finished teaching that year, I went back to IPSE, normal school as they called it then, and spent, well, it was a little better than, that wasn't quite 4 years because I had gone to two summer schools to make up that other semester. And I came back and I heard there was a teacher in Northville that was going to have to quit. And so I went down and I asked about it. I said, well, yes. And I could go in there at the 1st of April and finish the year. And I thought that was quite wonderful. But it was more wonderful when he told me, but if we hire you for that, you'll have to sign up for the next year. Nothing could have pleased me more because I was afraid that teachers were plentiful then, and they...
That was at the Baseline School?
No, it was at the Northville School that I signed up
in. Northville,
at.
I see.
It was an overflow room, they called it, with the second and third grades in it, I think. And I can't remember now of any people. Mary Ann Spagnoli, that just died, was one of the children that was in that group. Mm-hmm. And young Charles Carrington. And I can't think of now. I taught there just 1 year. And then, no, I taught there 4 years. And I went to Plymouth then, where I taught 2 years. But then they would let a teacher get married and go on back. So Mr. Smith, our superintendent, tried his best to get me to give up my marriage and stay. But I thought too much of the man, so I had to quit. And well, then I didn't do anything but substitute for a while, and I finally, there was a little school down east of Northville there on 7 Mile Road. It's been, there's a building there now, a house of some kind, and they were without a teacher. So I went down there. I taught there for 3 years. And the last year I taught there, I got $50 a month. And they paid me, it was during the Depression, they would pay me the school tax as it came in. And one time I got $1.67.
Oh my.
Then we lived right across the road here then, and I went up to the Wash Oak School, the school that you have in the museum down here, and taught a year.
Tell me a little more about that.
Well, it was very exciting, except the most exciting thing happened about the second week of school. Our house burned.
Oh, dear.
And we moved in with the folks that lived over here. And it was January before we got this little house in here. We built onto it. But while I was there, I had quite a good sized school. And I remember.
Tell me some of the things you would do in the one room school as teacher. Your responsibilities.
Well,
how many children did you have?
I had, in the late 20s, I can't remember exactly. And it was my job to get there in the morning and see if the fire was burning. And the boys usually carried in the wood for me. The wood house was right on the back of the schoolhouse. And then I had to sweep the floor. And the floor doesn't look like now like it did then, because then it was just a plain wood floor and the dust, oh my. And then we had our regular classes. I was trying to think of some of the people that were there that you know, but I had four of my cousins, but their father was very strict with them. He told them they must never call me by my first name. They must call me Mrs. Reekstrom, and they did. Not once did they make a mistake. And one day, one of those boys sneaked around the schoolhouse and came in and told me that Dean Hansinger had brought some dynamite caps to school, and they had a great big stone out there by the corner of the yard next to the road, and all those kids were right around that stone, and he was pounding them with another stone, trying to make them go off. Well, when Orville told me that, I went up. I just flew, because I thought they'd go off and somebody would lose a head of not their eyes before I got out there, but come to find out, I made Dean go give me all the caps, and then I stopped off at home and told his father about it, and he kind of laughed. He says, well, those kind of caps won't go off. That was a good thing, I guess. But
you had all 8 grades?
Make that
8 grades?
Yes, I had an 8th grade. I think there were 4 in it, 3 or 4. They went to Northville the next year.
You've been in the old school since they moved the Wash Oak School?
Yes.
Does it look any much the same?
Oh,
no.
It doesn't look anything the same, no. Different kinds of seats. Uh-huh. And the old-fashioned double seats, you see, way back. And that floor being so much darker. And of course, we had a different kind of a teacher's desk.
What would it be like?
Teacher's desk?
Uh-huh.
It was more or less like a small table. And usually they had a back on them, just about 3 or 4 inches high. So your ink bottle didn't go overboard. And you could pile your books up there, board them up, they wouldn't slip off.
Was the stove in the middle of the room?
To the back.
I see.
They usually had them to the back. And the only trouble is that so many times the stovepipe would go the whole length of the room. And I remember one time it fell down in one school, and we had to take half a day off and they got the stovepipe up. A lot of those people were moved from place to place. They wouldn't be around here too much. Children, they were all pretty good. There was none of them that were mean or did mean things or anything like that. I never had to waylay any of them, as they tell about.
How did you happen to get into teaching?
I liked it, and that was my mother used to laugh at me. She said that I should make a good teacher. I started out with wooden heads, because I'd go out in the woodshed, there was one end of it, and the bad weather, I had a playhouse. And I'd take these sticks that were shaped like a Y, with and pretend those two stick that with their legs, and I'd go to the rag bag and I'd dress them up, and I'd have them sitting around in there and play school in there. Of course, my brothers didn't appreciate that game so much, but that's why my mother said I started out with wooden men, or block kids, I guess it was.
Well, you taught in Northville, and Plymouth, Wash Oak.
Southlands, where I taught the longest, 20 years. The last 20 years I taught.
I see.
I retired there in 67.
Was it elementary you were teaching?
Well, I taught everything, mostly elementary and junior high.
You've had a good many years.
Yes, I loved every bit of it. I always said those children seemed just like mine. And I'd think in the fall, and I forget long about October, I'd think, well, no, I won't get another bunch as nice as this bunch another year. And the next year, I thought the same thing when I got back. I always enjoy them.
Are there some things that stand out in your memory, especially fun? You mentioned about the dynamite caps. That was kind of exciting.
Well, I think that's probably the worst thing that ever happened in my career.
Did you have Christmas programs?
In the rural schools, but not when I was in town.
Tell me about the Christmas program.
Well, most all the children had a piece to speak, of course. And then there was some dialogues. Sometimes we'd have one or two children that would have some special talent that they could take part. And they stand up there according to their height, about three rows of them, and sing songs. And of course I can't sing a note. My father used to wonder how I got taught those children to sing those songs and get the right tune. Well, I told him I wouldn't have been so well if I hadn't known the notes and been able to found them on the piano for them. And when I was going to school, I sang so well that one teacher told me just to say the words and not sing. I've never been able to sing. Evidently, the bad weather in the rural schools, why, earlier, of course, in my day and age, it was usually a buggy or a sleigh that they brought that took us to school in. And then later years, why, the parents would bring them a horse and buggies and finally the automobiles. But they had clothes drying all over the schoolhouse usually. The rural schools. I had, in South Lyon, I had some children one year. We had been studying about the blab schools in India. They take hold of hands, you know, and then the teacher tells them something and they all repeat it together until they learn it. And sway back and forth. And we just been studying about that in geography, I suppose. And I had this one boy, and school had just started. We hadn't been there very long. And he just talked out loud all the time, and I just couldn't take him. Rather than scalp him, I turned to him and I said, "Where did you go to school last year?" And he looked up at me and disgusted to think I didn't know, and said, "Why, Wilson, of course." And I said, "Well, you could have fooled me. I thought you went to Blab school." Well, of course, the children all giggled. They just giggled for an instant. But you know, I never had to speak to him again about talking out loud. I always said I could think of worse things than whipping them.
Well, what was the discipline? How did you control, especially eighth grade boys, in the rural school?
I didn't have any trouble with them.
Good.
I had a fifth grader, and about the third day I taught school, he refused to do his arithmetic. And I said, "Now, Edward, you can stay after school and we'll get that arithmetic." Well, he wasn't going to stay, but I made sure he was inside, and I locked the door because I thought he'd run away from me. And I went down in double seats, and I sat down in the seat with him, and I said, "Get out your arithmetic book." And he did, and slammed it up on the desk. And I opened it to where the lesson was, and he wouldn't do them. And he swore at me. Well, I got him out of the seat. I took him out of it and took him across my knee and gave him a couple of three spats in the proper place and set him back down, and he sat there. He went working that problems, and he knew just as well how to do them as I did, come to find out. And after we got the arithmetic done, and I let him go and said goodnight to him and everything, and locked the door so he could get out, went back, started to put the EBS marks in my register, I heard somebody in the hall. I thought, well, what'd he do? Go get a baseball bat or something? And I got up and went to the door to see what it was. There was an old teacher's desk out there and some other chairs. He had them all piled up. Well, he says, "Edward, what are you trying to do?" "Well, I'm trying to get up in the attic, fix that bell rope that's broken." And he got the bell rope fixed. I held the chairs for him then. And he walked home with me. And so many times after that, and he'd wait and walk home with me. That little house is down the road here. Of course, it's gone now. And so is he. No, I didn't like to whip. That was my third day of school when that happened.
You've seen a change in the wages quite a bit, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I taught in this school down east of town for $50. When I taught up here in this Wash Oak school, I taught for $50 a month. But those are the only times I taught school. I never did get up to 7,000. The next year, I think I would have if I'd have taught another year. I could have taught another year. Mr. Bartlett wanted me to, and he said, "Then we'll retire together," because he was about a year younger than I was. I'd retired in June before I was 65, you see, and I'd have been 65 the whole next year, so I could have taught another year. But my husband's health was pretty bad. When I went into the school down here, we didn't have any library. The library money had been used for other purposes.
This is the one on 8 Mile.
Yes. So I had a box social, and we raised some money that way. I don't remember how much. And I bought some books. And then He didn't have any dictionary, and I had a big dictionary at home. I'd taken that down there. No encyclopedias. So when the book money came, I invested it in a set of encyclopedias, which I wasn't supposed to, I found out afterwards, but they had to use the rest of the book money for a year or two to pay for the encyclopedias. But I thought they needed those more than they did the library books. But that's where the library got started. That is one of the library, one of the bookcases they had. They told my husband to take all that stuff out of there. He was working down in Northville and take it down to the dump.
Oh, no.
And he thought too much of that. He liked to refinish things anyway.
You mentioned a box social. Tell me what a box social is.
Well, the women and girls take a social or a watch, and they put it in a box, and the napkins, and they have sandwiches and cake and cookies and fruit, things like that. And then they take it, they take them and they fix them up to look real fancy on the outside. Then they put someone who's good at it, auctioneers them off. They go to the highest bidder. And sometimes if there's a pretty girl, they run them a little bit. And the money then is used for, there's no ties to it, you know, you can use all of it for what you want to.
It wasn't an annual event, it was just
No, I just had it that fall. There was another teacher there the next day, next year, former classmate of mine.
Was Mr. Rakestraw a local person too?
No, he moved here, but he was born in Brookston, Indiana. Very sort of a part of Indiana. And he'd been all over it, but spent 4 years in the Marines. So his mother didn't stay in one place very long.
Well, you've lived right here a good long time.
Yes, he lived the rest of his life here. He always liked his home.
Are there some things about Northville, the town, that you would go to, or activities that you enjoyed?
You mean then?
Yes, way back.
Well, they always had doings, as we called it, on holidays. Of course, there'd be horse racing, ball games, things like that, and sometimes they had doings on the street, and band played. Northville's band could always be heard because we have on those, we called it a crow's nest up on the four corners there, and they were up in that, and they played that. They'd be all gathered out there, and they'd, in the evening, they'd have a street dance.
Who would play for that? The band would play for that also?
Northville had a band.
I see.
And I don't remember the members of it now.
What kind of dances would they do?
Well, just the waltz and the foxtrot and some of the one-step and some of those old-timers, two-step, probably waltz is one they did most.
And you, would you go in when you were, say, in your courting days? and go in?
I don't know if that was it. I guess I was too young. We didn't go down at night much. But, I didn't dance. I never danced. I just stood and watched them.
Teaching has been a big part of your life.
Oh, yes.
How many years total did you say?
39. I started in substituting after I retired, and it was almost steady teaching, and as I say, my husband's health was so bad, and he didn't want me to, he wanted me right here all the time, so I felt that was my place. Mm-hmm. No, I love teaching, and I've had some wonderful experiences with people coming back and different things that they've told me and said. You know, it made me feel good anyway. And that's the funny part. Some of the worst boys were the ones that came back to see me. But everybody else said was the worst boys. I didn't think they were bad. They were all right as far as I was concerned.
So it was quite something to be going to go to college too in those days.
Yes, I saved my money, and the folks didn't charge me any board or anything, of course. And I'd saved all my wages, and I didn't have quite enough to finish. And so they signed a note with me at the bank. And I came right back there and talked and paid it off. I know when it was due, I went in there. Mr. Babbitt knew who I was. And he didn't even ask me for a signer. I got my note money without signing. And of course, later on, my brother worked there in the bank, Harry. But they had 5 people in that bank then.
The name of that bank?
It was Babbitt. Well, we called it Babbitt's Bank. Uh-huh. It's where the manufacturer's bank is now. And Mr. Babbitt and I can't remember that man that worked with him now. And Harry Lake and there was a girl that, a Baltimore girl that was the sort of a bookkeeper, I guess. I don't know what else you'd call her. And Mr. Wilbur was one of the men. And Harold Bloom was 4 men. It's one girl. He was working there when the bank closed that time. Everybody's money was tied up. And he said the elderly people would come in there and just cry because they'd put their money in there with the intention of having it to live on because there was no aids then like there is today. And he said, I just could hardly stand it. And when he got ready, when they opened up again and they wanted him to come back, he said, all I could think of was those elderly people crying, I would come back. He went forward to work. Of course, he worked in the office there, but
it was a hard living in the Depression.
Yes, it was. Lyle couldn't get work, so that's when I went back to teaching school, really. And he cut wood so we could have something to burn. Teaching school. I says, when I get somebody to take my place.
You had how many children did you have?
Just the one.
Just the one.
She has taught 27 years or so. But when they fixed it so they could retire earlier here a couple of years ago, and her husband is a sheriff, and he wanted, he works nights a lot, and he kind of wanted her to stay home. He wanted her home, so she quit. But she teaches school to entertain herself, substitutes.
Does she live around here?
That's my memory for you. Maybe it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Shalom. Things like that leave me.
A lot of interesting memories to reflect upon.
Yes, I sit here good many times. I'm not reading anything. I just live my life over again. Well, I was fortunate. We didn't have a whole lot of family troubles, and everything was pleasant. One summer, one of my former classmates graduated with me, and I took a trip. We went out west, went down to Colorado, and then up to Yellowstone, around up there. She's about like I am now. She's hobbling around with a cane too. I can remember the first radio we got. We lived over here. They had lived down the road farther. And Dad was so tickled with it, you know, and he could, and he asked him to hear it. And this fellow, he was rather uneducated anyway, and he says, "You can't fool me." He says, "You got some phonograph or something just outside there playing it." And he insisted that wasn't coming over the air. He was better than that.
Changes.
I'm not sure they're all for the best. I enjoyed those old days. The neighborhood we lived in when I was growing up over north here, along 10 Mile Road, a lot of them were people that Dad had gone to school with. They had moved away. They'd just taken over their parents' farm when they died. So they had a party every Saturday night. And the kids were usually given an empty room someplace to play games in. And none of them played cards. They did puzzles. They worked puzzles. And then there's one fellow, he was sort of staying-like, helped, or whatever you want to call it. And they'd do a little quadrilles and a few things like that. But it was pleasant. Everybody was having a good time. Nobody thought about me saying anything mean, you know. They were all good neighbors. I didn't think there was one of the families represented over there on that road anymore.
Thank you. Mrs. Rakestraw, we'll stop now, I think.